So today we will continue from Valmiki Ramayan, Yuddhakanda. This is part 4 of our series of Yuddhakanda. So I will start off with the prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Gurum Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatharinam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Radhanatha Swami Nitinamne Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamne Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayata Deshtarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gauravaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Offering prayers to Valmiki, Hanuman and Lord Sri Ramchandra. Kujantam Rama Rameti Madhuram Madhuraksharam Aruhya Kavita Shakam Vande Valmiki Kokilam Valmikir Munisimhasya Kavita Vanacharinah Shrunvan Ramakatanatam Konayati Paramgatim Vedavedi Parepumsi Jati Dasharatatmaji Veda Pracheta Sadasit Sakshat Ramayanatmana Anjananandanam Viram Janaki Shokanashanam Kapisha Makshahantaram Vande Lanka Bhayankaram Manojavam Marutatul Vegam, Jitendriyam, Buddhimatam, Varishtam, Vatatmajam, Vanara Yudamukyam, Sri Rama Dutam, Shirasa Namami, Anjaneya Madipatanalanam, Kanchanadri, Kamaniya Vigraham, Parijata Tarumula Vasinam, Bhavayami, Bhavamananandanam, Yatra Yatra Raghunatha Kirtanam, Tatra Tatra Krita Mastakanchalam, Bashpavari Paripurna Lochanam, Marutim, Namata Rakshasantakam. Shri Raghavam, Dasharatatmajam Aprameyam, Sita Patim Raghukulanmaya Ratnadeepam, Majanubahum, Maravindadayaladaksham, Ramam Nishachara Vinashakam Namami. Hare Krishna. So in our previous session, we stopped at a point in which Ravana created an illusory head of Lord Shri Ram and an illusory bow and arrow. And he presented it in front of Sita. So when Sita saw this, she was extremely shocked and she was plunged into grief and she started crying. So like this, when Sita was overwhelmed with so much pain on hearing the words of Ravana and seeing this illusory head, Sarama came forward and she consoled Sita and made her feel better. Just like how a rain, you know, the appearance of rain would make a barren land fertile again. So like that, Sita, who was plunged in grief, was made to feel better by Sarama. So Sarama was consoling Sita, saying that this is just an illusion and I'm sure that nothing has happened to Ram. And in fact, I did see Ram sometime back. I went and I saw he's crossed the ocean and he's here with a huge monkey army. So we stopped at this point in the previous class. Now we'll see what happened after that. So right after that, Sarama continued to speak to Sita. And just to make Sita even more feel better, Sarama told Sita, Sita, I have powers of flying. And I'm capable of carrying any message. If you have a message to Ram, I can go and tell him and come back secretly without being noticed by anyone. So tell me, whatever you want, I'll do it so that you feel happy. Then Sita said, my dear Sarama, you've been so kind to me, but actually, you know what I need from you? Can you please do this help for me? Can you go and secretly find out what Ravana is doing now? I want to know what is there in his mind. I'm very depressed and my mind is not at all in a natural state. I've been staying in this Ashoka Grove, and I'm really scared. I'm really feeling very, very distressed. So please go to his palace, find out what he's talking with his ministers, and find out what is in his mind about considering the matter of releasing me. Whether he has ideas of releasing me now that Ram has already crossed the ocean and come, or whether he's still going to keep me captive. So if you do this, it will be of great help. So immediately Sarama, she said, yes, I'll do it. And she wiped Sita's face, which was full of tears. And she said, I will go right away and I'll find out what is happening with Ravana. What is he thinking? What are his ideas? So immediately, Sarama, she flew into the sky, and being invisible, she went near the area where Ravana was having conversation with his ministers in his palace. Now, Sarama stood there invisibly in the air, and she was hearing everything about Ravana's intentions. And after she heard whatever conversations were having in the palace, she very soon returned to Ashoka Vatika, where Sita was sitting, and she appeared in front of Sita. So Sita was very happy to see Sarama. She called Sarama close by, and she told, please come here. I'm sure you've got some nice information. Please come and tell me. Sit down here and tell me. So when Sita, with a lot of fear, asked like this, Sarama narrated all the conversations of Ravana that he was having with his ministers. So Sarama said, actually, in the assembly, Ravana's mother, Kaikesi, then Abhidha, a very aged minister, old minister, both of them, they appeared in front of Ravana and they were talking to Ravana very seriously. So both of them kept telling Ravana that he should release you. They kept telling, let Sita be given back to Ram. They told, my dear son, Ravana, whatever had happened in Janasthan should have been an eye-opener to you. Because in Janasthan, as you must be remembering, 14,000 demons led by Karadushan were just destroyed in a few minutes by Ramchandra. So Kaikesi, the mother of Ravana, was advising him, I think you shouldn't be doing this, just give back Sita to Ram. And remember, Ram is no ordinary human. This I've heard from many places, that Ram is not an ordinary human being. Otherwise, how do you think he could have crossed this ocean? How do you think he had such a strong messenger like Hanuman, who discovered Sita and who burnt Lanka? So this Ramchandra is not an ordinary man, Ravana. You better be careful. And my advice to you as a mother, and even the minister sitting close by, a very old minister, even he was telling the same thing. Our advice to you is that you better give back Sita and all the problem will be solved. Just give back Sita. Otherwise, you have to face a war, and I don't know about the result. It may be a disastrous result for you. So these both the elderly people, they were giving this advice. So Sarama said, in spite of being scolded by his mother and in spite of his old minister telling this, he has no intentions of releasing your Sita. He just doesn't want to release you. Just like how a person, a miser who's very attached to his riches will never let go of his riches, similarly, Ravana is saying that he'll never let go of you. So Ravana has this resolve. He's very, very determined that he's not going to leave you. And he said that he's in fact ready to give up his life in a battle, but at no cost he's going to let you. So then Sarama said, Ravana is saying that he won't let you go. But mark my words, Sita, this Ravana is surely going to die in a battle and Ram will take you back to Ayodhya by all means. So, after this matter was relayed to Sita like this, meanwhile, again, Sita was very, very distressed because she knew she cannot go anywhere. And she was just waiting for Lord Ram to arrive, sitting there in the Ashoka Vatika. Now, meanwhile, in the palace, Ravana continued to take more advice from his other ministers. Now that his mother and an old minister were advising against his ideas, Ravana, he continued to take advice from other ministers. So Malyavan, one of Ravana's maternal grandfather, he also came forward after Ravana's mother spoke. He also came forward and he told Ravana that, you know what, really whatever your mother is saying is true. All that you have to do is you have to make peace with Ram and restore Sita to him. Because I'm already perceiving so many bad omens in Lanka. It appears that Lanka is going to get destroyed. So again, the other elderly ministers were also telling the same thing. So at that time, Ravana, he was just turning a deaf ear to all the words of Malyavan and his mother. And he was abusing them. He was abusing Malyavan that he's unnecessarily exaggerating the strength of Rama. So Ravana said that I will not restore Sita to Ram, and that Ram and his army is not going to go back alive. They have crossed the ocean and they have reached Lanka, but they think they can conquer me. They cannot conquer me, and by no means Sita is going to be returned to that Ram. She is mine and nothing can stop me, and I am not going to return her. So then Ravana, very, very angry with all these elderly people advising him like this, he began to immediately spring into action, and he started assigning different duties to all his warriors. So all these young warriors were on the side of Ravan, and they would simply listen to whatever he said. So immediately he called for all his ministers and his famous warriors, and he started assigning work to them. He gave the eastern gate of Lanka to this demon called Prahasta, the southern gate to Mahaprashva and Mahodhara. Both of them had very, very great powers. The western gate he gave to his son Indrajit, who was expert in all kinds of magic. And he placed Shupa and Sharana, two great demons, at the northern gate of the city. And Ravana personally said, I will also be with them in the northern gate of the city to guard the city of Lanka, and I will face the Vanara army from there. Then he said, this big demon called as Virupaksha, he's got a lot of energy and courage, so let them be in the center of the fort and let him guard this fort in all directions. And I will give him a huge number of demons to go with him so that the forts are guarded properly. So like this, he had a solid plan to guard the city of Lanka. And he told them how they're going to be arranged in battalions to fight against Ram and who will be in which position strategically to fight the Vanara army. Now, after giving all these assignments, he got ready for war. Now, meanwhile, Ram, Sugriva, Hanuman and others, they started nearing the city of Lanka. I mean, they were a little far away, but still as they were moving, the army was moving forward, they began to discuss together about their strategy on reaching the limits of Lanka. So they were getting close, they were a few miles away. So before they went close to the city, they wanted to discuss their strategy, how they are going to attack Lanka. So like this, when they were deliberating on how their army should be divided, Vibhishana suddenly came running there and he told Ram and his army that four counselors who had come with Vibhishana. Remember, Vibhishana had four people who had come with him. These four were loyal followers of Vibhishana who came during Vibhishana Sharanagati. They all came along with Vibhishana. So the four of them were Prasanna, Sampati, Pramati and Anala. These are the names of those four ministers of Vibhishana. So these four ministers, what they did is they took the form of birds, they disguised themselves as birds, and they went and they saw and observed all the army measures that were taken by Ravana. So they saw who is standing in which gate, so that based on this, Ram's army can be arranged accordingly. So if they know the chief warriors who is standing in each gate, they can match a suitable opponent from their army. So this was the idea. So they took the form of birds, they went there and they saw how the army was arranged, the main leaders of the army, who was stationed in which gate, how many millions of soldiers Ravana's army had, the number of elephants, the chariots, all the other horses and animals and everything. They saw the different divisions of army. And they came and they reported it to Vibhishan. Now Vibhishan, he saw Ram and he told Ram, so now we have information of who is standing where. So accordingly, we have to divide our army in a very, very intelligent fashion. Then Vibhishan said, Ramchandra, I want to tell you something very important. When Ravana attacked Kubera in battle, 60 lakhs of demons went forth with him. And all of them were as good as Ravana in their prowess, in their strength, in their courage and pride. So with this, you should be able to understand how strong Ravana's army is. So you better, it will be good if you also form the army in such a way that we also appear strong in front of Ravana. Ravana has very good planning strategies, so our army should also be planned accordingly. So after hearing Vibhishan's information, Ram, he began to order the monkeys as to how to attack the demons. So just like he got the information about who's standing in east, west, north, southern gates, similarly, Ramchandra gave instructions to the monkeys as to who will be the chief leaders in these four gates. So he said, at the eastern gate of Lanka, we'll put Nila, because he's like a lion among all the monkeys. And we'll give him many monkeys to support him. Okay, and he should attack this Prahastha, who is stationed at the eastern gate. At the southern gate, we'll put Angada, who is the son of Vali, and with his army, he should oppose Mahaprashva and Mahodhara. Then let Hanuman, who is the son of the wind god, and who's got very high spirits, who's very intelligent, guard the western gate. And let Sugriva, who's the king of monkeys, and Jambavan, the king of bears, and Vibhishan, and the younger brother of Ravana, who's Vibhishan, let them all occupy the center position of the army. So he says, remember, this is very important. And he says he will stay in the northern gate, guarding the army, because Ravana is going to come to the northern gate. So he gave instructions east, west, south, north, everywhere, where each chief leader should stand and attack the army. Now, he gave a very important instruction. Ramchandra said, all the monkeys should never assume a human form in the battle. He gave this instruction, except you should all maintain this monkey shape, because this will serve as a sign of recognition for us. So among our own people, the form of monkeys will be a sign of recognition to us. Only seven of us who will be retaining our human form. Who are the seven of us? It will be Ram, Lakshman, Vibhishan and his four ministers. So totally only seven of us will assume human form. Now the monkeys could also assume different forms at will. So Ram gave this particular instruction, at no point are you going to change your form. Because the minute you change your form, demons also change form, you also change form, it will be a total confusion. So always maintain your monkey-like form so that we'll be able to identify who's there in our army and who's our opponent. So this instruction was given by Lord Ram. And of course, these seven of them could obviously be identified. So he said, the seven of us, we have to retain a human form. We don't have a choice. We will retain a human form and make sure that you're able to recognize the seven of us always. Okay? So that there's no confusion. Then everyone agreed, and the army was planned in the fashion that Ramchandra had given instructions. And then they decided to move forward. So Ramchandra and the entire army, they started marching towards Mount Suvela. Now, in that particular night, so that they could go climb on this Mount Suvela, from Mount Suvela, they could see the Trikuta Mountain. What is there on the Trikuta Mountain? Ravana's palace is on the Trikuta Mountain. His city of Lanka itself is situated on the Trikuta Mountain. So, from the Suvela Mountain, one could get a direct view of what is happening in the Trikuta Mountain. So Ramchandra and his army, they decided that day evening that they will climb up this Suvela Mountain and they'll get a glimpse of the entire city. So that when they go near the city gates, the army will know exactly where they're going to stand and what kind of strategies they're going to apply once they reach the war field. So these monkeys and Ramchandra and everyone, they started climbing this mountain. And all the monkeys, they were wild, they were, you know, jumping up and they were enjoying the gardens in the mountain and they were plucking nice fruits and flowers and they were nicely eating. And finally, they reached the top of the Suvela Mountain, which was 16 miles in circumference. So from there, Ram, Sugriva and others, they could see Lanka very, very clearly. That was situated on top of Trikuta. So they saw these large mansions, the seven-story buildings. The seven-story is kind of very repetitive in Ramayana. So Lanka was known for seven-story buildings. Everywhere you see, in all the places, again and again, there's a mention of seven-story buildings. That was the fashion at that time. So they were seeing all these beautiful buildings and these thousand-pillared mansions of Ravana and everything they were seeing. They were looking at the beauty of Lanka from there. So then suddenly Sugriva, Ram, Lakshman, all of them were seeing, they were surveying this area, and suddenly on top of a huge gateway in the main palace of Lanka, there was a huge gateway, and there in the balcony, on top of the gateway, there was like a balcony kind of structure. So on that balcony, they suddenly spotted Ravana. Ravana was standing there and he was being fanned with beautiful white whisks, these chamaras. And one demon was holding an umbrella for him and others were serving him. And he was smeared with nice red sandal paste and he was wearing nice rich ornaments. Wearing a blood red colored dhoti with thick golden border, and he himself was looking like a huge cloud that is engulfed with sun rays during the time of sunset. So he imagine Ravana with all that decked ornaments and blood red colored dhoti with nice heavy gold border. He was standing there and he was fanned by his assistants, and he was just having a good time in the balcony looking at the sunset. Now, this was Ravana standing there. So, Sugriva and Ram, Lakshman, all of them, they spotted this Ravana from there. Now, Sugriva, instantly he got up, and while Ram and all the monkey chiefs were looking on, he suddenly gathered up all strength and courage, and out of an impulsive fit of rage, he just jumped from the peak of the mountain. He sprang up into the air and went and landed at the gate where Ravana was sitting, on the balcony where he was sitting. So Sugriva was suddenly, he just impulsively, you know, monkey impulse. So immediately he got up and he flew and he went and landed in front of Ravana. So after he landed in front of Ravana, he just took a pause for a moment after seeing this huge Ravana. And then fearlessly in his mind, you know, Sugriva was planning very, very fearlessly, thinking, I'm very strong, I can handle this Ravana. Thinking Ravana to be like, you know, not worth than a straw on the street. He went and called out to Ravana, "Hey Ravana, demon, I am a friend and a servant of Ram. Ram is the lord of the world. Now you will not be spared by me today. I am going to give you a good fight. By the grace of Ram, I am going to beat you up today." So saying like that, Sugriva, he jumped up and he went and he landed in front of Ravana and he bounced over Ravana and pulled out his crown that was there on Ravana's head, and he threw it up on the ground. He just threw it away on the ground. So Ravana was kind of shocked. Suddenly a monkey comes, lands in front of him, and then challenges him, jumps on him, takes out his crown and throws it away. Ravana was very confused for 1 second. Then Ravana could understand, this is the Sugriva. So before Sugriva could jump and rush at him again, Ravana spoke a counter dialogue. He said, hey, I know you're Sugriva. And Sugriva, you want to fight with me. Now you'll become Hinagriva. That means Sugriva means one with a very beautiful neck. Griva means neck. Su is always something that's auspicious, beautiful. So Sugriva means one who has a beautiful neck. So Ravana says, hey Sugriva, I will now make you Hinagriva. That means bereft of your neck. I'll smash down your neck. So saying like that, Ravana, he rose up quickly and he picked up Sugriva with his bare hands and he flung Sugriva into the ground with both his arms. So bouncing like a ball, Sugriva went, and then again he got up and with his bare arms he came and he attacked Ravana. So like this, Ravana and Sugriva, both of them had very, very great strength. And they went on fighting and fighting and fighting with their arms. They were just punching each other. Sugriva was scratching him. Ravana was throwing him. And they were just sweating. Perspiration was breaking out from their limbs. Their bodies were covered with blood. They were clinging onto each other, paralyzing each other's movements. So with blow, with holding their fists, they were slapping each other. And it went on like this, holding their fingers, they were fighting. So they had a very interesting duel. So they wrestled like this on the floor of the balcony, and repeatedly they were throwing each other on the floor. This went on and on and down. It looked like it would never end. So at some point, Ravana thought, okay, I have to really do something to this monkey. I have to kill this monkey. So Ravana got very furious, and he decided to use his magic. So this is what demons do. When they think things are going out of control, they will take up to magic. So Ravana, using his magical powers, he started appearing in different directions. So everywhere Sugriva saw, there were multiple Ravanas. You might have seen this in old animated movies where they show, you know, these nice scripture-based movies that they make. One demon appears in different directions. So like that, Ravana, he started appearing in different places. And then immediately Sugriva could understand that okay, now it's time for me to go. I'm not going to, you know, succumb to this trick. So Sugriva just decided it's enough for now, and he shook off his arms just to release all the fatigue that he had, and suddenly he jumped back flying in the sky, and he went and landed in front of Ram. So Ravana was all confused and baffled. He just didn't understand what happened. Why did this monkey suddenly appear? Why did he suddenly disappear? Why did he fight with me? He didn't understand anything. So Sugriva, he came back to the side of Ram, and he went and stood in front of the monkey troops, all with all these blood marks and all these scratches on his face. He went and stood in front of Ram. So now, seeing all these marks and blood marks and scars, marks of conflict on the body of Sugriva, Ramchandra's heart melted. Ram went and he embraced Sugriva and he said, "Why did you do this? Suddenly you jumped away. What happened to you? Why did you do this? Please don't do this again without consulting me. Don't do such monkey acts. Don't be so reckless. You're a king. You have to follow the protocols of a king. Why did you act like that? You were so reckless. You jumped and you went, and we all got so anxious that something will happen to you. Why are you dealing with demons like this? You should have a proper plan and you should take it slow. You're the king of the Vanaras. Don't do this. Please don't do like this in the future. Don't do things that are not in protocol, because we cannot know what will happen. I know you're very powerful, you're very strong, you're always successful in battles, but you should be careful. You just can't do things like this. If something else would have happened to you, really, I don't know what I would have done. Something would have happened to me, seeing that something has happened to you. Because this whole world is of no use to me if something had happened to you. What is the point of me taking this effort to come here and retrieve Sita, Lakshmana coming here, leaving the palace? What is the use of Bharata staying outside the country? What is the use of Shatrughna and Bharata suffering like this? If I had lost you, I think everything is gone. See, you're very, very valorous and you're just like the sun god. But if you had not returned Sugriva, I would have gone ahead, I would have killed Ravana and his army, I would have installed Vibhishan as the king of Lanka, but I would have given Ayodhya to the hands of Bharata, but I would have renounced my life. I would have renounced my life and gone to the forest permanently, because I lost such a devotee like you. I love you very much, Sugriva. Please don't do like this. And Ramchandra was very, very serious saying this. He was saying, I would have just given up everything and gone because I had lost you. What is the use of anyone else for me if you are not there, Sugriva? This was just not something that Rama just said to Sugriva so that Sugriva will feel happy. He really meant every word of it. Just like how in the Bhagavatam, there is this beautiful verse, Sadhu hridayam mahyam, sadhu naam hridayam tva aham, mad anyat te na janati, naham tebyo managapi. Bhagavatam 9.4.68, the pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I'm always in the heart of my pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anything else but them. So the pure devotee is always within the core of my heart. This is what the Lord is saying. The Lord's feelings are like that of a father when he feels pain for a son. When the child is in pain, the father also feels pain. So like that, Ram, he was really broken when he saw Sugriva like this. In another place, Krishna says in Bhagavatam, Canto 11, chapter 14, verse 15, he says, "My dear Uddhava, neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor Shankarsan, nor the goddess of fortune, or indeed my own self is as dear to me as you are." So that means he's saying a devotee is the most dear to me. Nothing else matters to me. So please don't do such things. So hearing these beautiful words of Ram, which were so heartfelt, Sugriva told Ram, "My dear Ram, actually I just couldn't help it. The minute I saw that evil Ravana who had taken away Sita, I just couldn't control my anger. My immediate instinct was to jump." Hare Krishna, am I there on the call? Hare Krishna.
Krishna. Yes, Mataji.
Yeah, I'm... Okay, thank you.
Okay,
I think I got cut off for a minute. Okay.
Yes,
yeah, so Sugriva said, the minute I saw that evil Ravana who had taken away Sita, I just couldn't control my anger and my immediate instinct was to go and attack him. What else do you expect from me? I got so angry seeing him and I just couldn't help it. Then Ram, he complimented Sugriva for whatever he did and he said it's okay. And he embraced Sugriva and appreciated him for the love that he had. Now, they had to take the next steps. Now, this was over. They had to now do some further planning. So Ram told Lakshmana, let's all go near this forest that is full of trees and fruits and there is a nice river flowing nearby. So let all the monkeys, first of all, eat well and get energized. And then let's divide the troops right away as per our plan. So all of you remain alert now. Now there is going to be division of troops. And then Ramchandra said, I see a lot of omens of war. So let's get ready right away. We'll get down from this mountain and we'll march forward and go to the city of Lanka. So then Vibhishan, Sugriva, Hanuman, Jambavan, Nala, Neela, Lakshmana, all these leaders, they walked along with Ram. And on the way, the monkeys, they uprooted trees, hundreds and thousands of huge trees. They took mountain peaks. They took huge rocks because this is what their weapons were. And very soon, the entire army, along with Ram and Lakshman, they reached the main city of Lanka. So, all the monkeys, they were encouraged, you know, like just how a leader enthuses the entire army force. So like that, everybody was encouraged by the sound of Ram's voice and being very obedient to the commands that he was giving. They all halted in front of the city of Lanka. So they reached this beautiful, magnificent city of Lanka ruled by Ravana. And as per plan, Ram and Lakshman halted near the northern gate where Ravana is supposed to come and fight with them. And then Ram saw all these multitude of weapons and shields that were held up by the warriors of the demon army. And what did the monkeys have? They were having trees, rocks and mountain peaks. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that the army of Ravana was very, very well equipped with all kinds of sophisticated weapons. They had chariots, they had animals, they had all kinds of weapons. You name it, they had it. But the monkeys, they just used stones, their nails, their teeth, all this as weapons, and huge trees as weapons. However, these were the strongest of the missiles because they were empowered by the mercy of Lord Sri Ram. So it's not the thing by itself. It's not that, oh, I have these great weapons, so I will be successful. No, to be successful, you actually need the grace of the Lord. Similar to the Pandavas. Actually, if you look at the Pandavas, they by themselves, they were not very big in terms of their army, nor were they very great fighters as compared to the kind of fighters that were there on the Kaurava side. But then they had Krishna with them. They had Dharma with them. So victory was with them. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Tatra Patro Dhanurtaraha, Tatra Shrir Vijayobhutir, Truvanitir Matir Mama. Bhagavad Gita 1878. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence. Shri is with them. So here also the whole war was for the sake of Shri. So Shri is waiting for Ram and she is on the side of Ram. So obviously there's victory with Ram. So the verse says there certainly will be opulence, victory, extraordinary power and morality. So that is my opinion. This is from the Bhagavad Gita. So similar case, though they didn't have great weapons or they didn't have great fighters like Indrajit and others, still they had Ram and Sita on their side. So obviously, victory was on their side. So even if you have the best of the weapons and you're not on the side of Ram, you will be defeated. Whereas the monkeys, even Hanuman at this point, it is not mentioned anywhere that he had a club with him. Because Hanuman, often when we see the deity of Hanuman, we see Hanuman holding up the club, right? The Gada Ayuda that he always has. But even in this war, Hanuman also didn't have his weapon. Nobody had their weapons. They were all having stones and trees. But each and every one were blessed by Ram and completely empowered. So this particular verse of Bhagavad Gita has already declared the result of the Ramayana war. And after declaring the obvious result of the war, we'll get into the details of the war. Now, Ram took the northern gate where Ravana would take over. Neela, as per plan, again, Neela, he took the eastern gate with Mainda Dvivida. Angada, he took the southern gate. And Hanuman, with his army, he took the western gate. Now, Sugriva, with all his chiefs, he himself stationed in the middle of the fort. And not far from Rama was Sushena, along with Jambavan, and they took the intermediate post. Now, all these monkeys were appearing like lions, having teeth like tigers, and they were holding their rocks and trees, and they waited enthusiastically, waiting for a signal to fight. So they were holding up their rocks and trees, and they were just taking position, just waiting for Ram to give his signal, and they were all surcharged with spiritual energy of Ram. So every single tree, every single rock was like as powerful as thunderbolt. So they were all set. They were lashing their tails, like how monkeys are riding, They were lashing their tails. They were using their jaws and nails as weapons, and they were growling and energizing their limbs, keeping their faces very grim. If you go to Vrindavan, you can see all these activities of monkeys. You know, when they are about to jump and attack you, they kind of make their teeth shown. They have a grim face on their, they have a grim look on their face, and they are lashing their tails, and they are all ready to attack. So like that, you can imagine the entire army was waiting. Just before they could start attack, Ram wanted to give one more chance to Ravana. So he called out to Angada, and he told Angada, "My dear little Angada, on our behalf, you go once more and approach that Ravana. I know Ravana is very unfortunate. He's certainly going to die soon. But just one last time, one last message I have for him. Just go and deliver it to him for me. So go and tell that Ravana that I told him this. Hey, demon Ravana, because of your arrogance, so many sages, Gandharvas, Devas, Apsaras, Nagas, Yakshas, and thousands of kings have been oppressed by you. From now on, that arrogance you have, just because you have boons from Brahma, will be totally subdued. You'll be ruthlessly punished for abducting my beautiful wife Sita. I'm here, I'm waiting at the gate of Lanka just to punish you. Punishment for your act of adharma is certain. You are the worst of the demons. Come on, show off some courage and magic that you showed when you abducted Sita and took her away from me. Now come and face me in a battle. Show that in front of me, in front of my face. If you do not return Sita now, this is your last chance. Take my word. I will make this world devoid of all demons." So Ram had some more message for Ravana. He said, "Even Vibhishana, who is the best among all demons, has come to me. And surely this Lanka is doomed. You are doomed. You are going to be killed. And Vibhishana will be coronated as the king of Lanka. So Ravana, take your last sight of Lanka. This is your last look. See the Lanka one last time, and you're not going to survive anymore." So this was the complete message that Ram had for Ravana. And he gave him a last chance. Even now it's not too late. You can give back Sita. But if you're not going to give back Sita, this is the result. So keeping this message in his heart, Angada, immediately he jumped and he reached Ravana's palace in an instant. And Angada saw Ravan seated along with all his ministers. He went and introduced himself. He went and told, "I am Angada. I'm the son of Vali." And Angada, he communicated the entire speech of Ram without adding or subtracting anything. So as it is, he went and gave the message. So he said, "I'm the son of Vali and my name is Angada. And have you ever heard of my name?" He's asking this actually in a very sarcastic manner. Because actually you might be aware that once Vali defeated Ravana in a war. Actually, this is there in the Uttarakhand, the details of this. So he's saying, "Remember that Vali, he had defeated you. So I am his son, Angada. You must have heard my name. And I've come here as a messenger of Ramchandra. Ram was born in the Raghu dynasty, and you must be knowing the glories of Ram, how great he is. He's the one who has killed so many of the demons already in Janasthan. So it's, I am the messenger of such a great king, of the descendant of Raghu dynasty, the son of Kausalya, and he has a message for you. So his message is, hey, ruthless demon, come forth and directly see me in a battle and prove yourself to be a true representative of your race. You're just boasting yourself to be a demon. If you're a real demon, come and face me in the battle face to face. And I will kill you. I will kill you along with your ministers, your sons, your cousins, all your relatives. And after you're dead, all the worlds will be rid of all fear. All that you've been doing, all the nonsense you've been doing will be finally stopped. If you do not restore Sita honorably by coming and surrendering to me, bowing down in front of me, you will be slain for sure and Vibhishna will become the king. So hearing this, Ravana got very, very, very infuriated. Got so angry. And his usual stunt, what will he do to a messenger? He will arrest him. So he told all his demons that they should go and seize Angada. Then as soon as demon friends were given this message that they should go and catch hold of Angada, four demons went forward. And they went and caught hold of Angada, and Angada allowed himself to be caught. So these four demons, they were clinging on to the arms of Angada, and like as if they were catching a bird. And as these demons were clinging to his arms, suddenly Angada leapt forward and he jumped onto the roof of the palace. So all these four demons who were holding on to his arm got shaken off by Angada's swift leap and motion, and they fell down onto the ground in front of Ravana, in front of the eyes of Ravana. So he went, he jumped onto the roof, shaking his arms, and he broke the roof, he destroyed the roof of the palace, and he shouted out, hey Ravana, I am Angada, don't you dare mess with me. If you do this, you're doomed. He says that, and he jumps off, and he lands again in front of the monkey troops who are waiting there, and all the monkeys are happy, Ramchandra is happy. He went close to Ramchandra, and he told him, I've completed my task, now it's time for the war. So Ram was all set, surrounded by so many monkeys. All of them were roaring. And Ram on his part was proceeding ahead. They're already ready for the battle with an intent to wipe out the entire army. So Sushena was actually patrolling through the gates of the army that was stationed there. And the demons, they said, everything is done. We have all these leaders at the gates, and opposing party is also there at the gates. They will attack us any time. So the demons knew that. Immediately Ravana was given this news that everything is stationed, everything is ready, only you have to come to the battle now. So everyone is ready. So Ravana immediately, as soon as he got this news, it was just like 1 minute away from the battle. So he runs up to his balcony and he looks and he surveys at all the innumerable troops of monkeys occupying the entire city of Lanka. He sees a huge ocean of monkey army, and he looks at Ram, and Ram looks forth at Lanka, thinking in his mind, this is where my dear Sita is held captive. So, and this is the end of Ravana. So thinking like that, Ravana was seeing Ram was seeing Ravana. Ravana got down. He went to the northern gate and he took his position. Now the war begins. So Ram, he issues a command to all the monkeys to destroy all these demons. And all the monkeys, they started going forward. They were demolishing the various defensive structures and the gates of Lanka. And they were holding on to the demons and they started fighting with the demons. Now, similarly, Ravana also gave his commands to start the war. So they were blowing conch shells on both sides. Ramchandra was blowing his conch shells. The monkeys were screaming on top of their heads. And then they were roaring and everyone started attacking each other. So the demons, they began to strike the monkeys with their weapons. And the monkeys responded the strike with trees and rocks and mountaintop with their nails and teeth. So this was their weapons, completely surcharged with the spiritual energy blessed by Ram. So there were extraordinary fights that is described in the Ramayana between the demons and the monkeys. So the monkeys and demons, they were running up to each other. They were catching hold of each other. Indrajit fought with Angada. Sampati fought with Prajanga. Hanuman fought with Jambumali. Vibhishan fought with the demon called as Shatrughna. Gaja fought with Tapana. Neela with Nikumba. Sugriva with Pragasha. Lakshmana with Virupaksha, Agniketu and others with Ram. There is much more details about all these monkeys with whom they respectively fought with. But however, there was a stream of blood that was flowing out from both sides. The demons were also attacked. The monkeys were also attacked. There was a lot of bloodshed everywhere. And in a series of hand-to-hand combats, you know, like these wrestling that was happening, the monkeys, they destroyed the demons in large numbers. Some examples are given. Hanuman had killed Jambumali with his fists. Nala killed Nikumba by just, chopping off his head, like with his mere hands. Nala plucked out the eyes of Pratapana. Lakshmana killed Virupaksha. Ram killed Agniketu and many other demons. So like this, as the day was progressing, the monkeys were getting more and more victorious. Just in single combats, they were being very successful with their hands. The monkeys, they were killing many, many, many demons. So why these monkeys and demons were fighting like this, slowly the sun sank below the horizon, and the sunset was coming forth, and it was getting night. Nighttime was coming. So in the Ramayana fight, actually fight was allowed both during day and night, because here the fight is with the demons. The demons get strong in the night and the monkeys are strong in the daytime. So fight was allowed both in the daytime and nighttime. In Mahabharata war, it was different. Of course, they broke rules. That is a different story. But here it was allowed. Okay. So even after sunset, the fight continued between the monkeys and the demons. And so the monkeys were shouting, "Hey, you're a crazy demon." And the demons were shouting, "You're a silly monkey." So saying like that, they were pouncing on each other and they killed each other, even in this dreadful darkness. So some were saying, "Strike him, tear him apart, you come near, why are you running away?" So like there's all these screams in the war field everyone was hearing. And the demons, as the night passed on, they started getting more and more strong. And slowly, the demons were getting victorious at this point. Okay, so they were getting a lot of success slowly. But however, in the night time, at one point, Angada, on his part, he struck Indrajit. Angada was combating with Indrajit for a very long time. So it went on, and even in the night, they were still fighting. And at one point, Angada, though it was night time, demons were supposed to be more victorious in the night, but still Angada was so surcharged that on his part, he struck this Indrajit. He struck his charioteer, he struck the horses, everyone at one shot. He just slammed them. And Indrajit didn't know what to do because he was almost fainting and the horses were gone, the chariot was gone, everything was in a total mess. So Indrajit, he got a little worried, and Indrajit was an expert in magic. So seeing this situation, suddenly he vanished from that spot. And everyone was so happy with Angada because it was like, this Indrajit was defeated by Angada. So everyone was very happy with Angada and Ram, Lakshman, all the sages and demigods who were watching this war in the sky. Everybody was praising Angada for his heroism. And suddenly, after this Angada vanished, what he started doing is he started employing magic in war. So this sinful demon, who was the son of Ravana, he had gone out of sight, he remained invisible, and he suddenly started hurling forth sharp arrows that were as bright as lightning in the dark, and these arrows were serpent-like arrows. That means they were infused with snakes, Nagastra. So they were released onto the limbs of Ram and Lakshman, who were there. Ram and Lakshman at this time were not alert. They were not even fighting with Indrajit. But Indrajit made himself invisible. He went to the sky, and from nowhere, he was shooting all these arrows that came, and it struck Ram and Lakshman from all sides. So Ram and Lakshman were completely engulfed with a network of arrows. And Ram and Lakshman, they just couldn't move. And they were stuck. Arrows were falling from all sides. They were totally pierced with all these arrows. And the monkeys came running. They saw Ram and Lakshman being wounded so badly by these Nagastras of Indrajit. So this Indrajit was being very, very mean. He was not even in a manifest visible form. He was invisible. With his perverse mind, he had taken to magic in order to capture Ram and Lakshman. And Ramchandra was struck. Ramchandra was stuck like this, Lakshmana was stuck like this. Then Ramchandra, he called out to some monkeys. He called out to 10 monkey generals to find out where Indrajit was. Because if Indrajit can be spotted, see, Indrajit at this time was invisible and he was shooting arrows. Somehow if someone can find Indrajit, because this is Maya Yuddha, okay? If they find the person who is shooting the arrows, they can probably retract the arrows. So that was the idea. Ramchandra, he called out for 10 monkeys who were Sushena, Neela, Angada, Sharaba, Dvivida, Hanuman, Sunaprastha, Rishabha, Skanda, and some of the others. So he called for all these monkeys and he told them to go and find where Indrajit was, so that they could see where these arrows are coming from and somehow these arrows could be withdrawn. And Indrajit was very, very skilled in using magic weapons. So he was continuously releasing it with great speed, and he had completely transfixed the movement of Ram and Lakshman with these arrows, and he started shooting these arrows at the other monkeys who were running to find him. And blood was flowing from everywhere. There was so much wound on Ram and Lakshman, and blood was just flowing and flowing. And at that instant, though he was invisible, Indrajit continued to attack these two brothers, Ram and Lakshman, and he shouted at Ram and Lakshman. He said, "Hey Ram and Lakshman, when I enter into a combat making myself invisible, even Indra cannot come in front of me. After all, who are you both? Insignificant human beings. You think I can't arrest you? This minute with my arrows, I will send you to the abode of Yamaraj. And I will punish you. Now you're doomed. I will kill both of you. You think you're great, but I am Indrajit. I can do anything." So saying like this, he continued to shoot more and more and more and more arrows. And all the arrows struck them and all their body parts and their vital parts were struck by these arrows. And both these brothers, they were bounded by a network of so many arrows. They became incapable of even looking up. Their vital parts were struck. They couldn't even look up. They were exhausted. They were covered with so many arrows. There was not a finger's breadth on their bodies from the tip of their fingers to their feet that was not covered by arrows. So they just lost everything. And Ramchandra fell down in a pool of blood that was flowing from his body. And seeing his elder brother Ram fallen like this, Lakshmana, he also felt so miserable. And he fell down in a similar fashion. So all the monkeys with Hanuman in front, they all went running towards Ram and Lakshman, who had fallen down like this in a network of arrows. And they stood around Ram and Lakshman. And everyone was disturbed. Everyone felt so sorrowful. They didn't know what to do. All the monkeys with Hanuman, Angada, they all began to cry. They didn't know what to do. They were seeing the plight of Ram and Lakshman. Ram and Lakshman couldn't move. All the monkeys thought this was the end of it. They were all so disturbed, they didn't know what to do. Huge moment of silence. And then Indrajit, he roared with victory and he started laughing aloud. And he informed all the demons about his great adventure of captivating both Ram and Lakshman with a network of arrows, and now they are not able to move and they are almost dead. So Indrajit, he went and he started striking the other monkeys also, like Neela, Mainda, Dvivida, Hanuman, Gavaksha, Angada, Jambavan, all of them he started attacking with arrows. And Sugriva was so upset because he saw something really bad has happened. He went running to the spot where Ram and Lakshman were fallen. And Sugriva burst into tears. He was so helpless. He was so confused. At that time, Vibhishan came forward and he told him not to get so confused. He consoled Sugriva and told him, "Hey, nothing can actually happen to Ram and Lakshman. They're not going to die. And you're the king of the Vanaras. You better have the Kshatriya spirit and continue to fight. Don't break down and cry now." He wiped the tears of Sugriva with some water that was present and he told him, "Somehow you have to be brave. You have to be heroic and you have to go and fight this war. We'll just keep some people attending to Ram and Lakshman. We will guard them, but you have to continue the fight." So meanwhile, Indrajit was very happy. He thought, okay, it's over. We are dead. He went to Ravana and he told his father Ravana that both Ram and Lakshman have been killed. It's over. Game over. He went and informed Ravana. And Ravana was so happy. His happiness knew no bounds. He was so happy. Immediately his thought was directed towards Sita. Yes, now I'm going to get Sita. Ram is dead. Everything is over. And he was smelling his son's head and he was declaring victory. Everyone was so thrilled. All the demons were celebrating. So immediately Ravana, as I said, all his focus was only on Sita. So he called some female demons, including Trijata, and he told them to take Sita in the Pushpaka plain and bring her in front of the battle and show her how Ram and Lakshman have been killed by Indrajit. So accordingly, as per the orders of their king, all the female demons, they decided to take Sita in the Pushpaka Vimana, and they brought her, you know, in the sky, in the Viman, to show where Ram and Lakshman were lying unconscious in the bed of arrows in the battlefield. And they asked her to take a look at that, saying that Ram and Lakshman are dead. Now, seeing the sight and imagining really that Ram and Lakshman are dead, Sita, she broke down. She saw her husband and Lakshmana in this condition, and she was filled with grief and she started lamenting. She was losing her consciousness. She just couldn't believe anything. She was wailing and wailing and falling down, and she was crying and she was telling, oh, what is all this? How can Ram and Lakshman die? What has happened? In the past, so many astrologers told me, after reading the marks and signs on my body, they made prophecies that I will have children, I will become a queen, I will never be widowed. They told again and again this when I was young. Now Ram has been slain. That means their words have proved to be untrue. How can that happen? All the astrologers predicted that I would be the wife of a king who performs many sacrifices. That means, are they all wrong? I still bear the marks of the lotus on my soles. Such marks are only of that of a queen whose husband is a great king. I do not see any marks of ill fortune. I don't see that I would be losing my husband. I am seeing all the auspicious signs on my body, and she quotes some. So these are some auspicious signs that are seen in very high class women, and especially the goddess of fortune. So obviously Sita would have all these marks. So some of the marks, just like how we know the marks on the palms of the Lord and the marks on the palms and the feet of Srimati Radharani, we have heard many times. Similarly, Sita Devi describes the marks on her feet and her lotus hands. She says, and also her bodily features. So there is a book, you might be aware, there is something called a Samudrika Lakshanam. That is actually an Upanga, just like we have, like Jyoti Shastra, we have Artha Shastra, the science of building, like we have so many Upangas, you know, the science of singing and dance and everything. Like that, there is something called a Samudrika Lakshana, which describes the features of a woman and which is considered auspicious and inauspicious. Like that, there are some codes that are followed. So like that, Sita was telling about herself here. Okay, we'll just see something that is very unique to Sita Devi, the goddess of fortune. So she says, my hair is fine. It's black in color. It is very smooth. My eyebrows are disunited. They are separate. My shanks are hairless and they are well-rounded. My teeth is uniform without any gaps between them. My temples, my eyes, arms, feet, ankles, and thighs are all very homogeneous and well-proportionate. My fingers have well-rounded, glossy nails, and they are all at the perfect length. My breasts are close to each other and they are fully developed. My navel is deep. My complexion has the shine of pearl. The hair on my skin is extremely soft. The 10 toes on the two and the two soles of my feet touches the ground. That means all the 10 fingers have contact with the ground when she walks. Okay, and the soles on my feet touch the ground. The hands and my feet, inner part of my hands and feet are rosy, fully provided with the marks of barleycorn, devoid of space between my fingers and toes, and my smile is gentle. Many astrologers have predicted this. Since I bear all the marks, I will be the queen of a great king. So, and also she talks about lotus and other marks on her feet that is unique to the goddess of fortune. So she tells about all this, and all the astrologers have seen these auspicious marks. And they have told that, yes, I will be the queen and my husband will be very long-lived. But what is this? I am seeing them that they are fallen down in a pool of blood and they appear to be almost dead. So she was very, very concerned. And then she said, Ram and Lakshman, they know the use of all the arrows of, they know Varunastra, Agniastra, Vayuastra, Brahmastra. They are expert in the use of such weapons. So I really don't understand how they were not able to fight with the demons. How are they now slain? She didn't understand this. And then she says, I really don't repent so much for myself that I have lost my husband. Yes, but I really feel bad for my mother-in-law, unfortunate mother-in-law Kausalya. Kausalya is still waiting there in Ayodhya thinking that her sons are going to come back after completing this vow of being on exile for 14 years. She's still waiting. What will I go tell my mother-in-law? What is this? So she was breaking down and she, you know, on one side she was not able to believe what was happening. At the same time, she was so afraid something happened. So she was in a total mental state where she didn't know what, she just didn't know what to do. So at that time, this demoness Trijata, who was always her friend. So Trijata, it's very nice how Vibhishan's daughter and Vibhishan's wife were very friendly towards Sita. Trijata was the daughter, Sarama was the wife. Both of them very, very favorable and were helping Sita till the end. So Trijata, she saw Sita lamenting like this and she told her, hey goddess, you don't worry. Your husband Ram is surely living. Calm down and I will give you logical reasons to say how both Ram and Lakshman are still living. If Ram and Lakshman were not alive, first of all, these monkey soldiers wouldn't be like this. Everybody would have, obviously the entire army would be in misery and the whole battlefield would have been very, very different because everybody would be running in all directions aimlessly if their leader is dead and gone. Now, this Pushpaka Vimana has carried you. It cannot bring you here if these two princes have lost their lives. It will not carry a person who has lost her husband. Okay? And first and foremost thing, she says, Pushpaka, we will not even have the capability of even flying if Ram is not alive. Now, this army, for their part, they don't seem to be confused and running around in all directions. Rather, there is a group of monkeys who are carefully guarding Ram and Lakshman. Why will they carefully guard someone if they are dead? I'm pointing out all this to you because of my affection to you. I've not lied in the past, nor am I lying now. I'm telling you very logically. Even the demigods and demons and Indra, everybody, even if they are put together, they cannot actually defeat Ram and Lakshman in a battle. And Sita, more than anything else, just see the way they are lying down. They are deprived of their senses. They look in a miserable. They look like they are in a miserable state. But their beauty has not gone from the faces. If a person is dead, the life air is not there, the face will automatically reveal it. Just look at the faces, how the faces are. Still, the beauty has not yet gone out of their faces. So that means the life air is still there. So like this, logically, Trijata, she convinced Sita that they are still alive. And don't worry, really no one can do anything to Ram and Lakshman. So Sita, when she heard this, she was kind of relieved. And she joined her palms. And she felt very, very, very glad that Trijata was there with her to tell her these words. And she told Trijata, I really hope your words come true. They should be true. And thank you so much for being there with me. So after this, Sita along with Trijata, they got down from the Pushpaka. And they again entered into Ashoka Vatika. So, keeping Ram and Lakshman there on the battlefield with arrows networked on their bodies, we will stop here and we will see who came to their rescue. So, we have a big hero coming in our next session and we'll see what happened in that in the next class. So, I'll stop here. Thank you so much. Please let me know if you have any questions, comments, corrections. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam, Adhvarishtra Shlapa. Thank you for
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for this very, very wonderful, enlightening session. As always, I should say. Really wait to hear your lectures. So thank you so much, Mataji. Quick questions, few questions, and one, you know, I just want to know that where it is mentioned that I heard about Sujata and Sarana, but were they related to Vibhishan, like you said, that Sarana was a mother, was a wife, and Sujata was a daughter?
Yes, it is mentioned, Mataji. It is mentioned. I think in the previous session or the session before that, I said Sarama, the wife of Vibhishan, it was mentioned in the Ramayana. Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, and this Trijata thing, to be frank, I have not really seen it as the daughter, but all of them consistently say this is the daughter. So maybe in the future chapters, if there is a hint, I will tell you. But for Sarama for sure was mentioned. And it also comes in the later part where after Vibhishan takes over Lanka, he rules it with Sarama. He rules Lanka with Sarama. So she is the wife for sure. Now this Trijata part, I've heard it from all the lectures, all the gurus keep saying this. But I don't know which verse, that probably may come in a future time. So once I'm able to spot it, I will give you the reference for that. For Sarama, I can send the reference right away, Mataji.
Sure, Mataji. No worries. Thank you so much. And another thing, Mataji, regarding Angad, I don't know whether it's mentioned in the Valmiki Ramayana or not, but we have often heard like how he went as a messenger to Ram, and he went to Lanka, and then he just challenged everybody, if you can move my foot. And everybody crying because he just guard himself, and you know, his foot is stiff enough, and like how to say, you know, and then he challenged everybody that if you can come, and any of you can just even an inch, if they can move my leg, and everybody tried, but no one was able to, and finally Ravan himself came down, and he said, and he himself, Angad himself, you know, removed his leg, and he said, no, if you really want to bow down, then bow down to my master, not to me. Is there any reference in Varam, or you have heard about this?
No, Mataji, I didn't hear about this.
Mm-hmm.
No, I have not heard about this in the Valmiki Ramayana. But, you know, again, there are many retellings of Ramayana where a lot of information about this meeting between Angada and Ravana is told, not specifically in the Valmiki Ramayana, but in other places you see a lot of conversation. Like he's telling, I'm the son. Here he just introduces himself as the son of Vali, and it is implied that, you know, you were defeated by Vali. That's all. There's just an implication. He doesn't talk about it in detail, but in many other retellings of Ramayana, they go on about different stories about how Angad says that, I know three kinds of Ravanas. I mean, I know about three Ravanas. One Ravan was defeated by Bali Maharaj. One Ravan was defeated by my father Vali. And one more Ravana was defeated by, who was that? It all comes in Uttarakhanda, Mataji. Actually, all these stories in the past, whatever happened to Ravana. But here, in this particular conversation, they are saying Angada is reminding him like that. So there are different retellings of Ramayana that elaborate on that particular meeting. So this could be one of it. I'm not sure. But specifically, Ramayana is, I mean, Valmiki has kept it very short. He's not gone into many details.
Okay, Mataji. And my other question is, like you said, that how the battle started. I'm sorry, Mataji, I got cut off. So on the very first day, Ravana came for fighting.
It says that he's going to come, because according to those verses, it says he saw from the balcony and he came down. That's all. I don't know whether he was supposed to be stationed on the northern gate. Specifically, it doesn't say about him combating with anyone in general. Like his name is not mentioned as he is fighting with this particular person or he's fighting with Ram. Because even on the first day, it says that Ram was fighting with Agniketu and four other people. It never said he fought directly with Ravana. It just says that Ravana saw everything from the balcony and he came down. And his position was the northern gate. Whether he came and he really took weapons, it's not mentioned.
In class, you mentioned that Ravana also came and then he ordered that yes, attack.
Yeah, he came and he... Right, and that's true, Mataji. He just says that he came down and he gave orders, okay, all of you start the fight. So, but again, as you move on in this chapter, it never says that he took a weapon and he went and fought with someone personally. So, I don't know. So he probably he, as the leader, he came and gave instructions, but he does, it doesn't say that he came and personally fought there.
Oh. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you for all your clarification. Hare Krishna. The clarification.
Thank you, Kirtida Sundari Mataji. Thank you so much. Actually, just to add, I myself have a question, and if one of you can answer, that would be very helpful. This is about Lakshmana being attacked by Nagastra. So, I don't have an answer. I was just trying to see if someone can help me with this. So, in the Krishna Leela, when we read, we see that when Aghasura and Kalia were, when the Kalia and Aghasura had come, at that time Krishna went without Balram, because Balram would, all, since he's also the serpent, he's a Sesha, he'll be able to identify the Nagas, and no, they can't do anything to him, you know, something like that. So he was not there during this Leela. But my question is just, you know, I don't know if this question is even relevant, but I wanted to know how Lakshmana could be affected by Nagastra. How could the Nagas go and attack Lakshmana when he himself is their brother? So any insights on this, Mataji?
Yeah, it's a good question, Mataji, never thought of. But yeah, really, I don't have any answer for that. But how come he was affected by all that Nagastra?
Mm-hmm.
But I think so both were bound, right? Ram and Lakshmi,
yeah,
both. And I don't know, but I heard from someone, not related to ISKCON, like from our grandmothers, you know, those stories. So I heard, you know, finally they were relieved by Sita Devi.
Okay.
But I don't know how far this is true.
Yeah. If later it comes with, I mean, the next part talks about Garuda's entry. That's what I was telling, that there is something interesting that's coming up in the next session. So, because Garuda is basically the combat for the snakes, right?
Yeah,
so he comes. Yeah, but I really didn't understand how could even he be affected by the Nagas, right? Lakshmana? I don't know. Anyway, thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, can I ask a question?
Yes, Mataji, please ask.
Very nice class, thank you. This is Tulsi Gopi Dasi.
Hare Krishna.
So,
yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. So two things that I missed the first 25 minutes of your class, and this is the first time I started attending. So whenever I have tried to attend a recording, it asks me to give a reference number, and I have been able to find that. So later on offline, maybe I will chat with you and get that to get your first half of the class. But other question I had was that in general, if we see all other incarnations of the Lord, this one is very unique because he is spending so much time with the animals in the forest, and the animals and him are having conversation. Jambavan is so old at the time of Ramayana itself, and still he lives throughout the till the Dwapar Yuga, when Krishna again meets him, you know, in relation with the Shyamantaka jewel. And then I don't know how Jambavan, being a bear, has a human child or something, I don't know. And then he has a daughter who, he's a bear, and how can a bear's daughter marry Krishna, Jambavati? And then also Dvivida fights with Krishna and Krishna kills him in the next incarnation, whereas he is on the side of Ram in this incarnation. And all these monkeys talking to Ram and animal Sanskrit, and how do we understand these inconceivable things? Like, not everyone have that long life. How come these animals have? Is this something that we can get a perspective on this, these things?
So I'll tell you whatever I know, Mataji, and others can add and also correct if I've not told it properly. So basically, you know, in today, in Kali Yuga, everyone has devolved a lot. We say we are evolving, but actually we have devolved a lot. In the sense that in the previous yugas, people had different capabilities. even the animals, you know, like you might have heard about Kimpurushas, Vanaras, actually they were a mix. They were not just like, you know, they were more evolved in the sense they had certain powers, and they had powers at a different level, different consciousness in the previous yugas. Just like how Prabhupada says that in the previous yugas, the lifespan of these, of the, all the species was much higher. You know, lifespan of human beings, be it human beings or even other, ape-like forms or other creatures, the consciousness was higher, their lifespan was higher, their size was bigger, their capabilities were much bigger. But in the age of Kali, everybody has we have actually gone down a lot. Even the, be it the animals or even the human beings, our capabilities, our powers, everything has subdued a lot. So in the previous ages, it was much higher. And due to certain practices of that time and age, they could live one yuga after the other because of several boons and other capabilities. They were able to sustain for a long time. And they were able to speak. Like you see, even Jatayu was able to speak. They had much more developed functions in the previous ages and yugas. So that is one answer, Mataji. And now in today's world, you know, nothing seems to be applicable. Oh, how can, you know, this happen and how can he have this? So it's a logical question. So in this age and time, we don't see any such things happening. But this is how it was previously. That's how I see it, Mataji. And Jambavan having a girl. See, this you see throughout, even in the Bhagavatam, I was just thinking of how it is told. But if you see how the different species were created, right? According to the Bhagavatam, it talks about Ila as being the mother of a particular species of insects, I don't know, or trees. And then you have Kadru, who was the mother of snakes. How can a woman give birth to snakes? This is like a logical question. Or how can Vinata give birth to birds? She had Aruna and Garuda. So this was their capability. They were blessed by those sages. They were able to procreate in such a way that they could have certain kinds of children that was needed at that point in time or to create this particular type of species. It was a capability that the sages were able to bestow on them. And also another concept that is often discussed is about how the sages, sometimes when they unite, they take animal forms. So just like how the Ashwini Kumaras were born, if you see their story also, you will see that the sun god united with his wife, who was in the form of a she-horse. So the horse and the mare, they united when they took the forms of horse, and hence the Ashwini Kumaras were born with horse head. Okay, so sometimes these sages or these divine beings, higher beings, they are able to take a different form at the time they unite. Like when Pandu in Mahabharata, you will see that two deers were, in union, and you will see stories. Because he would have been a sage. After striking the arrow, they would have realized, oh, this is a sage. So this also happens. So at that time, they have an offspring that is of a different bodily form. So be it Jambavan or be it the Vanaras, they could take different forms too, based on their requirement. So all this was possible in the previous yugas, not at this time. At this time, there are some people who have certain siddhis at a very minimal level. Like you might have read some articles where this particular yogi was able to, you know, be present in different places at one point, or he could manifest this, he could manifest that, he could manifest linga. Like that, you know, maybe he did that, but it is a very small amount of power that he has exercised, a very tiny siddhi that he was able to exercise today, that's all. But in those days, the powers were much different. Did this somewhat answer, Mataji? And if anyone wants to add, please go ahead and add.
Yes, it is helpful. Yes, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
And in one sense, if they were so advanced, I'm just thinking, like they were so advanced that they could have a conversation on dharma, what's right and wrong, not just talk, say, I saw that person in this direction, but they could even rationalize and talk what's the duty of one person versus all that. So if they were so elevated, why didn't they have human form, and why they could all just live together, you know, versus animals in the forest? It's just so inconceivable in that sense.
Yeah, in fact, I mean, you look at it, right, the Vananas also, they were sons of all these demigods, and they specifically came to execute a purpose, and they were totally empowered. And even in the next session, actually, you will have Sushena, who will talk about how he was there during the churning of the milk ocean. So even at that time, these Vanaras were there, and then he was able to interact with the human type of species, demoniac species. So, yes, they just have this form they choose to have, or they are, maybe there is, Krishna always thinks there should be variety. So he makes the world with variety, and they are happy with that variety.
So when Hanuman also, like, when he burns Lanka and goes in the ocean to extinguish the fire on his tail, and there's some vapor which a fish takes in her body, water goes in, and she gives birth to a monkey son called Makardhwaj. Is that true? Because I'm not following from the beginning.
Oh, this is no. This is not there in the Valmiki Ramayana, and I've not seen it specifically in other retellings of Ramayana, but somewhere it has been adopted as a tale, because even I've heard of this story, but it is not really, I didn't find a proper reference for this.
Okay.
There are so many stories about Hanuman. Oh, Hanuman had this son, that son. Yeah, that Makardhwaj, even I've heard that. Yeah, but it's not specifically there in the Ramayana, Mataji. So there are a lot of extrapolations from one story. Yeah, he's always seen as the Brahmachari. Anyone else has anything to add or correct?
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Come with you, Mataji. Please tell Mataji.
There are 8,400,000 species of life. And they were all created, you know, the bodies were created by Lord Brahma. And so all those progenitors, what do you call, prajapatis, different prajapatis, they were interested to produce all these different kinds of, all the jivas with all different kinds of bodies. That's how they have all this. That's how we have all these different kinds of bodies, 8,400,000 species. And like you mentioned about the Kadru, she had Vinda, I mean Kadru and Vinda, both sisters. The Kadru had those snakes, and Vinda had those Garuda birds. So like that, they're all different, because they have to feel with the, all the 8,400,000 species of bodies. So that's how they were empowered to do it. So that's how they could do it. So it's not in a material calculation, or scientific material science cannot grasp it. And if you explain how different prajapatis has produced children like this. So, they're like we have this, and here we have humans. And there's a Kim Purusa locus. So they look Purusa, but they are not Purusa. That's why the Kim means what?
Kim, what? Yeah.
Yeah. Purusa. And there's some, looks like a, and there's a Kim Vana. They look like Vana, but are they real Vana? So that's how it is. Kim Purusa locus, Kim Vana locus, Gandharva locus, all these species, they are all different, and manifested by the Brahma, manifested the body, and then the jivas came from the Mahavishnu, and they were impregnated, and then and the Kala, all those rishis, and they were empowered to produce different kinds of bodies with those jivas. It's all completely, it's Krishna's doing it. So it's very inconceivable. We cannot conceive. So that's what is inconceivable. You have to just accept what the authority says. So that's what we do. Hare Krishna.
Beautiful, Mataji. Thank you so much. Very, very beautiful answer.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Very, very nice, beautiful class. I never want the class to be ended, but then the clock just ticking on, and then we have to end. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Shama Gauri.
Amazing, amazing class, Mataji. Very nice. Very nice answers also you gave. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on the call, Mataji, giving us your association. All glories to Guru and Gauranga. No one else has any questions or comments, we can end the class. And Tulsi Gopi Mataji, I think this reference number, once in a while it asks, but you don't have to really type in anything because I always just do the access code and then it just lets you in. Sometimes even I have heard this question on reference number, but you just leave it blank. I think it will still let you enter the call. And now we will send the recording, and the recording you should be able to hear without any problems, Mataji, on the WhatsApp. I believe you're on the WhatsApp, right?
Hare Krishna, Mataji, I'm not. I just, someone forwarded your, please add me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, sure. I'll add you, and then you can access everything from there. All the recordings, everything will get there. Okay?
I see. Hari Bol. Thank you.
Hari Bol. Thank you, Mataji. So, thank you all so much again. We'll end the call. Vancha Kalpataru Vescha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, Srimad Valmiki Ramayana Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
Priti Vilasini Mataji Ki Jai. Hare
Krishna. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you.
All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna.